Modern DNA testing is pulling back the veil on our history and heredity. And once in a while, it opens the door to a long-hidden family secret. Who's your daddy?
It really makes you doubt everything.
So Tim, let's get into your story. Let's talk about how you discovered that you were an NPE.
Well, it had, probably since day one of my existence, it had always been a speculation that I may not have been my father's son. And what I mean by that is, when I came out of the womb at 9 pounds, 24 inches long, I had brown eyes. My mom had blue eyes. My dad had blue eyes. So just thinking that alone, you're skeptical. Not me personally. I couldn't think that far ahead, but, you know, people around me, family members, friends, whatever else. Tie that into my brothers and sisters are much older than me. My middle brother was actually 15 at the time, going through biology classes, knowing the fact that a blue-eyed a mom and a blue-eyed dad couldn't make a brown-eyed boy. You know, you start thinking about those technicalities.
So this started to create some doubt
speculation,
in your brother.
Yeah, early on. So basically,
did he vocalize any of that?
Yeah, when I was growing up, when I was old enough to understand a little more things, he had vocalized it. I had first heard the rumor when I was probably 14 years old, roughly in there. It was kind of a ha-ha kind of thing. I wasn't built like my brothers, like my sister, anything like them. I was, twice as big and twice as wide as them. But I never felt isolated, so to speak. My parents divorced when I was 3. My stepdad raised me, so it was kind of a no big thing. When you backtrack after all this, though, you start putting pieces together, and it all makes sense. As Casey spoke of before, little idiosyncrasies in life start making sense when it came to this. So fast forward to December of 2016. My middle brother decides that he wants to pay for me to have a sibling test with him. Now, a sibling test is a little bit different from a DNA test. This will only tell you, yes, you're full siblings, or yes, you're half siblings, or you're not siblings at all.
I know that.
Okay. So,
where are these available?
This was a test you actually had to go to a doctor to have done.
Okay.
So it was, we didn't have anybody in Ancestry DNA at that point, so it was better just to spend the $400.
Whoa.
And it was $200 a person to have this test done. So it comes back March 7th, 2017, and it says, comparative to the notes that we have, it was kind of like a, you know, if you want to say a Maury Povich type of scenario, you know, you're not the father, you're half-brothers, is basically what the bottom line says. You're half-siblings.
Was this a swab or a blood test?
This was a swab.
Okay.
It was done through a research DNA group, but it's actually under, it's not even considered a DNA portion, it's more of a identity type of test. So it's a little bit different in that aspect. So I questioned my mom about it at that point. Obviously, the first words out of their mouth is rape, denial, everything you could possibly think of. She's had, 39 years to think this out, and this is the best you can come up with.
Did she answer right away, or did she?
No, because, when I had questioned her about it several times, I questioned her at 16 years old. And,
wow.
No, your dad. Well, technically she was right, because my dad will always be my dad. Okay, now I have a different name for a father. Okay. So, once I had the DNA in my hand, or with the paternity test in my hand, I approached my mom about it. It kind of changed every variable, because now she's the vulnerable one, if that makes sense. She has the explaining to do. She has my answers that I so desperately want. When I had this test done, I wasn't out to hurt anybody. I wasn't out to you're right and you're wrong type of thing. What I was looking for is my truth. What makes me whole, what makes me where I am and who I am. And that when you're dealing with the siblings and the family portion of everything, they forget that. It's not about them. It's about their brother, their, you know, their son, their nephew. So I couldn't get the answers I was looking for. She had claimed rape, didn't know who it was, blah, blah, this and that. I asked her a place and a time, you know, couldn't give me that. So at Christmas that year, my wife bought me an Ancestry DNA kit. And I got that back, and I had, if you're familiar with Ancestry, it has close family is the very first one, and it had my aunt from my mom's side. So I knew that the DNA was going to be legit. Under first cousins, I had three first cousins from my aunt. So it was three first cousins from my mom's side. And there was four other people on the other side. And those four people ended up being cousins of mine from my father's siblings. So through pretty much a basic deduction, two of the three siblings were my father's uncle or my father's brother or sister's kids. So that's where I came from. So we were able to narrow down a father, a time, a place, pretty much everything through this process. It's taken a lot of work. There's been a lot of bad stories that came with it. But how are you really going to know your truths unless you seek them out and find them? Because nobody's going to just tell you the truth. And as an NPE, we all know that very, very well.
So have you had any contact with your father's family?
Well, my father actually died in 2007. He was a World War II veteran that had moved from Iowa to Fort Wayne, Indiana. So everything made sense as far as the connection, the time, the place, everything like that. I was having some struggles getting in contact with the family. Only a few of them actually were receptive to me. I later found out why, unfortunately, and we'll get to that in a little bit here. But the family that reached out to me and were receptive to me basically told me, you may have a little problem getting in contact with your immediate family. They would never say why, and I think more of it was out of respect, because they were interested in learning more about me, my wife, my family, you know, stuff like that, learning how I became. And so through Ancestry, if you guys are familiar with it or if you have used it, they would come up with genealogy records, genealogy reports, newspaper articles, clippings, stuff like that. When I became a full-blown member to Ancestry, one of the reports that came was Supreme Court case out of Iowa. The case was actually about my father, my bio father, that in 1965 had actually murdered his wife in front of a gas station in Ames, Iowa. And he was actually was able to get out on a technicality in 1975 and move from Iowa to Fort Wayne. So that would explain the reasoning behind some of the family may not be interested in talking to me or anything having to do with him, because he wasn't a good person at that time. So
I remember that coming as quite a shock to you when you first found that out, because it was after we had all three started sharing our stories with each other. I got a message from you one night that you were like, I just found something out that's really upsetting.
I don't think I will ever stop investigating, because I don't think our stories can ever be fully complete. There's nothing black and white in regards to NPE, your paternity, anything else like that. There's so many variables that we will probably never know. But I won't stop trying to learn as much as I possibly can. And when that report came out, yeah, that was a... that was an interesting moment in my life because you start to maybe believe some of the stories that your mom was telling you. And that brings back in rape, for example. Rape is a possibility. Now, he was a...
I mean, if you could fathom that he could have killed his wife with one arm and a knife.
Yeah.
And
everything else is possible at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it casts doubt. And what I was looking for in this whole experience was my truth. Something to build my life on and ultimately change the livelihood of my children and their children. I want to break the mold, so to speak. That's our famous quote in my house is break the mold. We want to be different than our parents. We want to learn from the good things they did and the bad things they did and be better parents. And this whole process has made me so much better of a parent to be more attentive to their needs. Little things that they may say click a lot quicker because you're thinking about, wow, I was in that position once, or, oh, yeah, I remember this. Well, they're so much more transparent nowadays with our findings. So so here we are today. I've met some of the some really cool family out of this. I have an Aunt Jane in Wisconsin that I just absolutely adore. She's amazing. And a cousin in California named Patrick. He's been absolutely fantastic. I've seen pictures of my dad. I've seen pictures of the family.
Did they have any idea that you existed?
No. Nobody had any idea whatsoever that I existed. They wouldn't have put it past him, but it wasn't something that was known.
And you said you've seen pictures of him?
Yeah.
Did he have brown eyes?
He did have brown eyes.
Ah, there we go.
That's kind of when you know that's what the case is.
Do you look alike at all? Or?
No, yes and no. I mean, I can see some of the features in him. I tend to favor my mom's side anyways. Some of the bovine side, which is, you know, two generations before that, they had pretty big men, pretty big heads, no necks, you know, stuff like that. So I tend to favor them anyways. And that was interesting because growing up, even though I was so much younger than my brothers and sisters, I never once felt that I was any different than them. And, you know, we all three have been in this position now, and we're all thinking, well, am I half of you? Am I quarter of you? Do I even know you? You know, and that's a lot to think about. But reflecting, I never really felt any less of a person now or then than I do today. I feel I'm honored to be here. I'm so thankful to be here. And I have no problem telling anybody that. I think it's healthy to say those kind of things. You know, how did you get here? What's your story? It's not, well, I was born at this hospital at this time and this day by these parents. There's way more to it than that. There's way more to it. There's several events that had to happen in your prior life, in your parents' prior life, for you to get here. So it's...
And when you start looking at those things and thinking how amazing it is for those individual things to have lined up for you to exist.
Exactly.
Like, it's pretty great to exist.
Yeah.
And pretty amazing that...
The odds were stacked against us.
All of us,
and we broke through.
Yeah, I mean...
A blue-eyed mom and dad can have a brown-eyed baby. It's one in, like, 1.8 trillion, okay? I have to think I'm way more than that.
Right.
For the stars to align. And each one of us are. It's not just myself. It's all of us. You know, the timing had to be right. The place had to be right.
Or if it was a one-time situation between two parents that... You just happened to come out of that? Like, that's kind of amazing.
And I have kids, and I have a wife, and I'm just...
And if any factor was different, you wouldn't even be here, and they wouldn't be here, and none of that would have happened.
So instead of feeling sorry for myself and sorry about the situation, I've kind of used it as fuel in my life. I've used it as, you know what, I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to... be a dad to my children. I'm here to be a husband to my wife and to break the mold. And that's what that's our family motto, and I'll stick to it forever.
Thank you for listening to the Who's Your Daddy podcast. Be sure to look for us online on Facebook.com as Who's Your Daddy podcast. And feel free to ask us any questions there that we could address in a future episode.